If you brought a copy of the Word of God this morning, would you turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians? The New Testament book of Ephesians, and we are looking at verse number 10 through verse number 13. If you didn't bring a copy of the Word of God, but you may have an app, a Bible app on your phone, look it up there as well and follow along with us this morning. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 through verse number 13. Follow along if you would. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In 1858, there was a mighty move of God across Philadelphia. No leader was more prominent in that move of God than a 29-year-old Episcopal minister named Dudley Tyng. He often spoke to large groups of men, encouraging them to stand firm in their faith. In April, though, of that year, he suffered an accident while visiting a farm. His arm had got caught in a corn threshing machine and was badly mangled and had to be amputated. An infection then set in that would ultimately take his life. Knowing he was dying, though, he called for his family and a few close friends and exhorted them to stand up for Jesus. When those words were repeated at his funeral, they made an enormous impact on a man by the name of George Duffield, who was at that time a pastor of Temple Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. The following Sunday, he preached a message in honor of his fallen colleague. At the end of his sermon, he recited a poem that he had written based on Dudley's final words. The poem was later printed and put to music and eventually became a song that we sang even last Sunday. And here is the first verse. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. But listen to the third verse now that you know the story and how He died. Here's the third verse of that song. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Now listen to the last verse because this ties right in to the message. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Last Sunday, I introduced to you from this passage of Scripture our theme for the year, which is stand. We are in a spiritual battle, and we are called to stand. And while we are in this battle, it is important for us to know who our enemy is. And according to verse number 11 of this passage, our enemy is the devil. No soldier in current time is ever sent out into a battle without knowing who he or she is fighting against. They have to know the enemy. They spend time studying the enemy and so forth. And it is important for us, likewise, here in verse number 11, to understand who the enemy is and how he operates. So would you notice with me this morning, if you would, from this passage of Scripture, the importance of knowing your enemy. And we notice, first of all, that the devil is the leader of the opposition. We find again in verse number 11, it says that we stand against the wiles of the devil. Have you ever wondered, where did Satan have his beginning? Where did he come from? Well, we find that originally his name was Lucifer. According to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, that is the name he is known by. At one time, he had his dwelling in heaven with God, in the presence of God. And we find, though, that while he was in heaven, according to Isaiah 14, that he had rebelled against God, and five times he had said, "I will, I will, I will," and God said, "No, you won't." And we find, according to Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, that Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." So he had a very quick fall. Some believe that he was, when he was in heaven, one who was basically the director, if you would, over the music of heaven. Now, I don't know that I'd be totally dogmatic on that, but there are definitely some hints of that in the scripture. But nonetheless, there was a time in which he was in obedience to God the Father, but then he had rebelled. So we see that as his origination. But then we see his identification. He is known in the scriptures by many names. For instance, in this passage, he is known as the devil. The very word devil means accuser. According to Revelation, the Bible says that Satan now accuses us before God. Praise God, we have an attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would, who pleads our case before God the Father. But Satan loves to accuse us. The devil is the accuser. He is known also as Satan. That is, his name there means an adversary. He is the enemy of God. Thus, he becomes our enemy. He is also known in Scripture as the tempter. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 3, there we have the account of the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil. And we find in Scripture as well that Jesus referred to the devil as the murderer and liar. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, he's the murderer, he's the liar. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, he is compared to a lion seeking whom he may devour. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, he is introduced to us in the beginning, if you would, as a serpent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he is known as the angel of light, that he has ministers even today who are standing in churches who are ministers of light, who are not preaching the truth, but they come across as individuals who are preaching the truth. And they are, in Scripture, known as ministers of light, but Satan is known as that angel of light. And then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible refers to the devil as the god, little g, of this world system. Now that's important to understand, because then that means that when Lucifer, son of the morning, fell from heaven, God has allowed him, and understand this is important, God has allowed him only certain authority. He's only allowed him certain room to operate. But he is known as the god of this world. As I am preaching right now, Satan is active in the minds of those that do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because he does not want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want them to be saved. And so he is the god of this world. And since the devil is a created being and not eternal as God is, he is limited in his knowledge and activity. He is powerful, church. Don't underestimate the power of the devil. But he is not all powerful. Sometimes the devil gets way too much credit. Sometimes I hear Christians say, you know, that when they, you know, they'll excuse some wrongdoing in their life and they'll say, well, the devil made me do it. But understand, God, when we are facing temptation, provides a way to escape. He gives us the opportunity whereby we do not have to sin. And so that's what I mean. Sometimes the devil gets more credit than he deserves, but Satan is all powerful. Or he is powerful, but he's not all powerful. So here we see that he is the leader of the opposition. He will oppose you. But notice, secondly, who are his helpers? Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not your enemy. The person seated beside you is not their enemy. Those in the political world, if you would, are not your enemy. As much as we despise the sin of abortion, the abortionist, if you would, are not our enemy. They are a soul for whom Jesus Christ died. So he says here at the front end of this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So who do we fight against? He says this, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is an army of demonic creatures that assist Satan in his attacks against people like you and me. When Satan fell, the Bible tells us, according to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 4, that one third of the angels fell with Satan when he rebelled against God. He is not, if you would, operating alone. In fact, when you get in the time of the tribulation, you will have Satan, you will have the Antichrist, and you will have the false prophet. You will have that unholy trinity. Just as we have the Holy Trinity, there will be this unholy Trinity in the time of the tribulation period. But right now, there are these, if you would, these demonic creatures, these angels that fell with Satan. In fact, according to Daniel chapter 10, Satan's angels are struggling against God's angels for the control of the affairs of nations. Please understand, there is a bigger thing going on besides Republican versus Democrat in our country. If that's where you're lost, if that's where your total thought process is, you are missing out. You've got to understand that we are in a bigger battle than politics. It is so far beyond that. In fact, he says here in this passage, it's against principalities, it's against powers, it's against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not against human beings. Our battle is against the spiritual wickedness and powers in high places. And so Satan, if you would, has his helpers. And the Bible here says in verse number 12 who they are. But then notice this with me, if you would. We note the ability of the opposition. The ability of the opposition. That's our next point. Notice here now, we find in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said this, the thief. And there Jesus references the devil as a thief. He says the devil or the thief cometh not for to steal and kill and destroy. You see, Satan already knows where his eternal home is going to be. It is going to be in a Christless hell forever and ever and ever and ever. But Satan is not content going there alone, for one, and he's going to do what he can to blind the eyes of them that do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He doesn't want people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So yes, he's strong and he works hard to keep people coming to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about some of the, if you would, lies that he has deceived them with. Well, here is one. Well, I know that I'm going to heaven because I am a good person. Boy, I'm for every one of us being a good person. But the Bible says it's not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. And I don't know how many times I've asked people, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they will answer, yes. And I follow up and say, well, how do you know that? Well, because I'm a good person. The Bible teaches us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we could rely on ourselves to get to heaven, then what Jesus did on the cross was totally meaningless. I mean, it's only through Jesus that we're saved. It's only through him that we are born again, and only through him. And yet Satan deceives people by saying, just trust in yourself to be saved. Or here's another one. Well, I have been baptized. Listen carefully. There's nowhere in the Word of God that it teaches that if you get baptized that you're going to heaven because you were. There's not enough water in the world to wash away your sin, but as the songwriter wrote, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible teaches us in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I could go on, but I'm telling you, Satan is very strong in that area to deceive people. He's still at it today. And he will continue to be at it until one day he is thrown in the lake of fire. The great deception, the great liar. Now notice here in Ephesians 6, the Bible says that in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. That means he's cunning. He's crafty. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we, God's people, are not to be ignorant of his devices. So we see that according to this passage, that he does have a certain ability. One, to keep people blinded to the truth. And then he has a certain ability to really try to hamper you and I from living for the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice with me, if you would, the defeat of the opposition. I stand before you this morning on the authority of this book to tell you that Satan already is a defeated foe. He's already defeated. He knows it. But may I say to you this verse of Scripture, that one of many that I could share with you, but listen to this verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that is Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That word destroy means he rendered him inoperative. He no longer has the power of death. And praise God for that this morning. And Jesus Christ, if you would, put him out of business. He's a defeated foe. When Jesus Christ died and rose again, praise God, we know on the authority of the Word of God that Satan is a defeated foe already based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. But I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. Because this tells us the very future defeat of the enemy. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. Where the Bible says this to us. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That word cast in verse number 10 means to literally, like me going over here and grabbing hold of Peyton and throwing him. That's the picture here, that word picture of Satan literally being thrown into the lake of fire. And there he will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? He's defeated. He's been defeated in the past. He's working hard right now to prevent people living for Christ and trying to prevent people from being saved. But ultimately, he will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when I will sin no more. I'm looking forward to that day when I don't have to do battle with Satan anymore. That day's coming, church. That day is coming. But he is not going to go down without a fight. He's going to fight hard. He's going to do what he can to do a lot of damage until this time comes here in Revelation. So therefore, in light of that, we go back to our starting text in Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. This is who our enemy is. He's real. He's not a figment of our imagination. Excuse me, he's not a man that's dressed in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. I know that's how people like to picture him. But I'm telling you, he's real. To deny that is to deny something very important in your Christian life. Because he is the one that seeks to devour you. I've seen it over the years, in my years of being a Christian, I've seen godly men get devoured by Satan, who are no longer standing behind pulpits and leading their churches that they led for quite a few years. They gave in to the ways of the flesh. I've seen Christians fall by the wayside for the same reason. The devil, I'm telling you, he loves to wreak havoc. He wants to wreak havoc in your family life. He wants to wreak havoc in your marriage. He wants to wreak havoc in our church. I mean, that's just what he wants to do. He has not come, if you would, to be a uniter, but a divider. So, though there is this future defeat of Satan, I want to share with you as I close this morning how we presently can defeat our opponent. Here you go. By faith, put on the armor of God and stand. What is the first part of verse 11? Put on the whole armor of God. We are not soldiers that, if you will, we go out undressed into the battle. No, God has set us up for victory, not defeat. He wants us to understand we're on the winning side. We can go against this very dangerous foe, but yet we can go against him clothed, if you would, with the armor of God. And by faith, this week, I'm going to encourage you to do something if you've never done this before. I'm going to encourage you every day that you wake up this week, before you start your day, that you just go to this passage of Scripture and by faith put on the armor. Go ahead and take that armor that he talks about in verse number 14, having your loins girded about with truth, and I'll explain this in the coming weeks, and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and taking that shield of faith and taking the sword of the Spirit and taking the helmet of salvation. You are going to be a Christian soldier that's going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but by faith this week put on the armor and stand. Don't run away. Don't retreat. Stand your ground. Because I'm telling you, if you don't put on the armor of God, when Satan comes knocking, you'll lose. You'll lose because God hasn't designed that we go in this battle and rely upon, quote, our arm of the flesh, but we rely on the power of the Lord. Because he starts this out in verse number 10 and says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's where the victory's won. We're going to rely on the Lord. We're going to rely on his strength, on his power to win this battle. By faith this week, every day this week, before you start your day, put on the armor of God and stand. Secondly, be careful. Listen to this carefully. Be careful not to give the devil any room to work in your life. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, and look at verse 27. He says this, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any room to operate in your life. That's what the Bible's teaching us. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 12 to focus on the Lord Jesus and to be careful about besetting sins. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, it teaches. Every believer here this morning struggles with some certain besetting sin in your life. You know what it is. God knows what it is. So does Satan. Now, he's not all-knowing, but he knows where you can be weak. And he will attack. He will attack you, and you have to be careful not to give him any room in your life to operate. Not any. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him any room to operate in your life. Someone has said, if you give him an inch, he'll become the ruler. A lot of truth to that. Don't give him any space to operate in your life. You think about that. Think about where you struggle in your own life personally. You think about some sins that you struggle with. And you really want the victory over it. You really do. But are you giving this devil any room to operate? I remember an individual who was really trying to overcome smoking. God had convicted them about it, and they realized, hey, I got to be done with this. But for a while, one of the reasons they could not overcome it was they kept going to the store and buying another pack just in case I get the urge. Now, I've never smoked a day in my life. I've met people who have quit just like that. I've met others who, you know, wear a patch or whatever, and eventually they quit. But the idea of saying, you know, I'm going to go to the store, and just in case I have an urge, at least they're handy, they're ready to go. That is an example of giving the devil room to operate. Either God is stronger than the devil, or he's not. And when you decide in your life, I am not going to sin, I'm not going to give in, and I'm going to rely on the power of the Lord, as it says here in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, then I'm going to rely on that. God will see me through this. God will bring me through this. I can be an overcomer because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I just gave you one example, but you could use it the whole area of your life saying, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give any room to this great foe because he's a great foe, but I'm not going to give him any room to operate in my life. No room. Then thirdly, resist the devil when you are tempted to sin. Listen to these verses. James 4, 7 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So we as God's people, clothed with the armor of God, are called to resist Satan. We resist him steadfast in the faith. He's going to come this week and try to tempt us. In whatever area in our life, where actually all of us are tempted in one of three areas. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or pride of life. Right? That's what the Bible teaches, 1 John. So we're all tempted in one of those three areas, maybe sometimes all week in every one of those areas. But when he comes knocking and he tempts you, resist him. Resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee, he will run from you. Bible example. You remember Joseph. How that he was tempted. He had the opportunity to have relations with the king's wife. He was gone. It's just Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar. Nobody will know. Except Joseph knew something. I serve a holy God. And how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? What was he doing? He was resisting the devil. He was resisting. He says, I'm not going to give in to this. Let me give you another example that works the other way. David, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. You read the Psalms, you see that this man had a driving passion for the Lord, but he's human, or was human like you and me. When kings were supposed to go out to battle, he stayed home. He looked over the way, he saw a beautiful woman. He says, I want her. And he got her. And he had relations with her. He had a child by her. And he regretted that decision for the rest of his life. He said, God, my sin's ever before me. I've often thought, what does that statement mean? I think part of it was because he reaped the consequences of that look and the act. And he reaped the consequences in his family. He had a son that rebelled against him. He had another son rape his daughter. Oh, the heartbreak that David experienced. Because for a moment, David did not resist. Joseph did. Oh, he had every opportunity. Who's going to find out? He knew God was watching. He ran, even though his cloak, if you would, was left behind, and he had to end up spending 2 years in prison for a sin he never committed, for crime he never committed, and yet God eventually brought him to a position of power. I believe that was God honoring Joseph. Now let's go back to David. Did David, who did not resist the devil, get forgiveness? He sure did. He sure did. Because in Psalm 51, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and committed this evil in thy sight. Wash me, cleanse me, O God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. My heart has been broken for what I have done. I've hurt you, I've hurt others, I've hurt myself. But God forgave me. In both of those examples, church, I can tell you who I want to be like. I want to be like Joseph. I want to stand. I want to resist the devil. But there have been times in my life where I've been like a David, where I didn't resist. So when you think about this week, you will be tempted. You will. I don't know what form you will be tempted, but you'll be tempted. And so before you then, you have an opportunity to resist the devil. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to see this verse number 13. This will help you this week if you are tempted. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Now just stop there and look up this way. When you're tempted this week, don't think of yourself as some odd person. Oh no, man, my world's falling apart, I'm being tempted. Most likely, so are the rest of us. So there hath no temptation take you, new, but such as is common to man. Look at the rest of the verse now. But God is faithful. Amen? Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Remember, God does not tempt his children to sin. James chapter 1. He doesn't do that. Satan is the one that tempts us, but we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Then when we give into it, then we have sin. The temptation of itself is not sin. It's when we give into it. And so Satan will paint you a rosy picture possibly this week. He'll try to make the sin and the temptation look really beautiful, because he's the angel of light. But we have to say, I'm going to be faithful to my God who is faithful to me, and I'm going to stand in the power of the Lord and resist the devil and watch him flee from me. 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And so, church, this is our enemy. He's real. Praise God. He was defeated at the cross. He's presently working, but praise God, one day, he will be thrown into the lake of fire and be tormented day and night forever and ever. Till then, he's going to do whatever he can to distract every believer in this congregation this morning. He's going to do what he can to get us off the path. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to pray. He's going to do whatever he can to even discourage you. But listen, we're on the winning side. And he, God, wants us to be clothed with his armor and stand against the enemy. May God help us this week to stand against this enemy. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here today without Christ, don't follow the ways of the devil. He's a loser. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Satan, if he has his way, you will be tormented day and night forever and ever in hell with him. But God, today, has provided a way. If you're here without Christ today, believe on Jesus. Today, receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ died, rose again, to provide a way of salvation to today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, won't you turn to Christ and believe on him today? I wonder if there are those here this morning who would say, Pastor, in my life I've never done that. But today I realize the importance of doing it. Today I want to come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He's not. But today I want him to become my Savior. Their heads bowed. Would you just raise your hand, rub your rat? So yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'd like to know for sure if I die to go to heaven. Anybody at all while we wait? So I'd like to know with great certainty on the authority of the Word of God that Jesus is my Savior. Anybody at all while we wait? Would there be those here this morning who would say, Pastor, in my life, I realize since I have been saved, I'm in a battle. And I realize from the scriptures this morning, I'm up against a very strong enemy. And I would that you remember me this week, that I would, by faith, put on the armor of God and stand against him. That I would be careful not to give him any room to operate in my life. And that I would resist him when I am tempted to sin. this is the need of my life. I want to be victorious in a battle. I don't want to be sidelined. I don't want to be defeated. I want to live in victory. If that's your need this morning, would you raise your hand, drop your hat? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Several hands. Anybody else? Bubba Way. Anybody else? Just a moment. Our pianist will begin to play All to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. And I'm going to encourage you. If you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you just want to come and pray by yourself here this morning, or kneel where you're at and open up your life to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, this week, please help me live in victory. He will help you. He's already given you what you need to live in the victory. Will you take advantage of it? Here to help, here to pray with you. Won't you come? And now, Father, how I thank you for the effectiveness of your word. Thank you for working in hearts. Thank you for knowing the hearts of all people in this congregation. And how I would pray that today that we would live in the victory that is already ours that you've promised. And that we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. Jesus has already accomplished the victory. And so how I pray this morning that you'd help us to live there. In Jesus' name, amen.